Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Y'all crazy.
Welcome in to the Megala Show. Mike can't even handle it.
My heart rate's really high, guys.
Your heart rate, are you getting alerts on the watch?
I didn't do enough Peloton.
Oh, man.
I was not ready for this.
Welcome to the Megala Show live in Los Angeles. Thank you, everybody, for being here. The Megala Show brought to you by our good friends, sponsored by Underdog Fantasy.
Absolutely. Yep.
We love them.
How many best ball drafts are we doing, people? Yeah. Yeah.
Jason will be doing one in the middle of the show.
I think I'm
Jason's
on the clock.
On the clock.
We've been very busy getting ready for this show. I hope I didn't auto draft too much. Nope, I'm good.
And your sweat level is maximum?
It's out of control. I'm sweaty. I'm overweight. I did not do any of the Peloton training. I did do burger training. I did sandwich training. I did steak. It went tremendously. Yeah. I finished every course.
You powered through?
He's been
spending the last 1 hour in front of a big fan downstairs.
That's not... No. This thing literally has a sign on it that says, The Big Fan. It is a industrial huge fan, and I am a fan of it.
You're a fan of the fan?
I am a fan of that fan because I am hot.
Do we have some people out here with the UDK? What about you said he gave us the X. Does he give us the plus over there?
Oh, yeah.
Got the plus out there?
What, the UDK plus?
The UDK plus.
Yeah, it's certainly going on out there. Yeah, these are our people.
I know they're our people. But one thing that I wanted to say, thank you to all of you for picking up the UDK, for coming to the live shows, for contributing, because we're hitting a mark.
We are.
$250,000 raised for St. Jude over the last 7 years.
I mean, that's...
And that's from the generosity of the Foot Clan, and we're really proud of that.
Yeah, that's your guys' doing. You guys, we really appreciate you.
Well, we did some. We won some fantasy.
That is true. We did win some titles in some celebrity leagues and got some extra quiche. But for the most part, it's our fans.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Actually, now that I think about it.
Oh, God.
It's probably mostly us, Mike. I think you're right. But fans, you guys are also great.
Well, let's get it going. We got a quick question.
Let's go.
We're going to have some fun with this. Your job is to compare a player to a... Mike's already laughing.
Well, they know it's a live show, so they know that there's a ridiculous bit about to happen.
Accurate. Compare a player to a famous band or musician.
Nice.
I guess I'm going to start it after I take this sip of water.
Yeah.
I guess I control everything, so I'm going to start everything.
Gabe Davis.
Ooh, he's a babe.
Gabe the babe.
Babe Davis.
Who's also going to be great this year.
Gabe Davis is basically...
You may not like this then.
Smash Mouth. Oh!
Oh, man, the beard on the beard.
The beard on the beard. Look, Gabe Davis is like Smash Mouth because... He's got a few hits.
They're big hits.
They're big hits. The 4-touchdown game in the playoffs.
Oh, they sucked me right in.
Yeah. Yeah, it plays in your head.
There's children present.
You've got the 98-yard touchdown week 5 last year.
Sure.
And just like Smash Mouth, those songs that get stuck in your head and they play mm-hmm. over and over and over again. In fact, All Star has been played a billion times on Spotify. People just keep playing it.
Impressive.
A few big hits, a few big plays.
Hold on.
That's Kyle's stat.
A billion?
A billion.
A billion streams for...
A billion streams.
Hey, now.
Which...
He's an all-star.
What are we doing with our lives?
But just like Smash Mouth, I don't want to buy the whole album.
Yeah, that's right. You just want to stream... You want to stream that one track.
I'll just stream the hit, and maybe I'll play it at parties, but that's like best ball to me.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great best ball pick.
I don't want it added to my playlist this year. I don't want to buy the album, and I'm not going to that concert. So I'm afraid Gabe Davis is like Smash Mouth. I'm sorry. And that beard, man.
Oh, yeah.
Good work, Schneider.
It's beard.
I've never seen like a soul patch upon a beard. This is a first for me.
It can be done. So, Mike.
All right.
What do you got for us?
So, you know, sometimes there's an underground band. And they come out guns blazing. Just a great smash first record.
You like those bands?
Oh, we all do. But they're underground. And your friend's telling you, then boom, radios nonstop.
Are you the friend in this situation?
Of course I'm the friend. Of course, I know all the cool music before it's cool. Man, that's my job.
Look at him.
And that's why Antonio Gibson is Green Day. There he is. Look
at that's a look.
I mean, he's not playing any chords.
No, no.
The technique on the guitar is
questionable.
Dare I say beginner level. I'm sorry, Antonio Gibson. But here's what I mean by that. Underground, only your best friend was telling you need to draft Antonio Gibson as a rookie. I pointed to myself for the people on audio podcast. Superstar. Second album, you're like, it's pretty good, but I'm a little concerned. And then, Catastrophe. A couple good songs here and there, and you're like, oh, no. Oh, no. This band has absolutely fallen apart.
And you're trying to pitch them.
Yeah.
And but you don't got the heart to do it anymore.
And your original friend's like, no, just stay strong. Just stay strong. And then out of nowhere, American Idiot hits the airwaves, and they are back in such a big way that you cannot say that this is not one of the most famous and impactful rock bands
of all
time. Is that
this year?
And that's my point, ladies and
this
gentlemen.
This year is American Idiot?
2023, my champion. Not your champion.
Wait, you're taking him back?
Not your champion.
You're taking him back?
He's my champion. 2023. Is Antonio Gibson becomes an American Idiot, and that sounds really bad.
But it's really good.
But I mean it.
But it's good.
Yeah, it's so bad that it's good. So there it is.
Okay.
That's why Gibson's Green Day.
I like it. I like it.
All right, they were chanting your name, Jason.
Well,
it's your turn.
Makes sense, but...
They know something good's about to happen.
Well, something bad's about to happen. We'll find out. I want to bring up a player that I don't think we talk enough about, doesn't get enough respect. Maybe we'll see. I want to talk about Geno Smith.
Hey,
do we like
course,
Geno?
This is
a mixed room.
Yeah, well, that's fine. This is pretty obvious. I think you're all, clearly. Geno Smith as a musician is clearly Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
Look at that hair.
And there
Look
he is.
Look at that beautiful hair.
Obviously.
I know it's so obvious.
Because he came in like a wrecking ball last year.
He sure did last year. But there's a lot more than just the wrecking ball. Okay? Basically, both Miley Cyrus and Geno Smith started their career as someone else. You know what I mean?
Like
Miley Cyrus was Hannah Montana, and Geno Smith sucked.
That was his Hannah Montana
that
years?
That was his Hannah Montana.
He was on the Disney Channel in New York.
And they spent, you know, a large chunk of their careers mostly being made fun of.
Oh, no.
Geno was the butt of a joke. But then this last season, he comes in like a wrecking ball. And here's the real comparison.
Uh-oh.
If I'm going to be honest.
You should. There's a lot of people.
Geno Smith is like Miley Cyrus in that. He's actually really good, and so is Miley. Yeah. Oh. Look, you can hate all you want, but Miley's a genius.
You've admitted so much in that last sentence.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, Geno Smith's going to have a great year. He's got great weapons. Miley Cyrus just going to keep coming out with bangers, you know. Talent knows talent.
I think they agree with you.
Yeah, it doesn't
Mike
matter.
Mike does because he's drafting him everywhere.
Yes. Yes, I'm in on Geno Smith. He's good. I don't know about the Miley part.
What you're saying, you don't know if Miley Cyrus is good.
I mean, I'm aware of Wrecking Ball.
All right, hey, we have, by good fortune, some serious news to talk about.
No, we don't.
Hit it, Al.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by USAA Insurance.
Now, I'm not going to say that I'm pleased that we get to have this discussion in front of 1,000 people, but I'm very pleased that we get to have this discussion in front of 1,000 people.
Okay.
We could all comment on the Trey Lance situation, but there's one person I really want to hear from. Trey Lance to the Cowboys, not for a third-round pick.
Oh, yeah. I was way off.
For one of those measly fourths.
Yeah.
Let me get your thoughts, Mike.
Oh, yes. Take the spotlight.
So, it's not great. He gets a fresh start. There's a starting quarterback, Dak Prescott, who's pretty good. The team likes him.
What about like dynasty teams? What do they do?
Well, okay, here, I'm going to give you a quote from Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones said, "The idea of Lance playing a significant role this year for the Cowboys is unlikely." Quote. Hold on. It gets so much worse.
Okay. All right.
Quote, "I don't want to plan on, count on, or wish for help from him this year."
Oh, no.
Oh, get bodied.
Oh, no.
Like, you just traded for him, dude. Like, pump the guy up. The guy needs some confidence. But
Trey wanted out.
So here's the... Here's my actual fantasy advice. He was in a much better situation in San Francisco.
He would have played.
Like, we all think that Brock Purdy is the guy and is good, but there is a chance that Brock Purdy falls on his face. Mm-hmm. Like, there is a chance. Their backup is Sam Darnold. 0% chance
What
could go wrong with Sam Darnold as your backup? So now he's buried on the Cowboys for multiple years. Dak Prescott, I looked at the contract. There's no way out. There is no way out for the Dallas Cowboys. Not that they want out. They brought Trey Lance in. They're hoping that he could become a backup who they, quote, don't want to plan on or wish for help from.
I had not heard that till this moment, and I'm literally sad for Trey Lance.
Like, what? Why is Jerry got to do that? We don't wish for help? You brought him in to help your team.
This poor guy.
So, if you're in Dynasty,
it's over.
Yeah. So let me. I've got 2 points to make here. The first is you were talking about how a week or so ago, before he became the third string,
yeah,
you were, let's call it half joking, that if you were to cut him in a Dynasty league, you would basically be putting a landmine out for someone else to pick him up and have to clog their roster with him. But then he became third string, and it was like, I don't even know if it's worth that. Right now, do you try to trade him away for anything? You get a third round pick or better.
Fourth?
Yeah. Or move on from him, or are you just holding? What's the prescription here?
You get a fourth when you
you get a fourth in a three-round rookie.
Yeah, three-round rookie draft, ask for a fourth.
So let me ask you
probably get that.
Are you clamoring to roster Cooper Rush in your dynasty leagues?
He's not on my single quarterback leagues, no, sir.
No.
Well, then, Trey Lance, look. The honest truth is, I have no freaking idea. He's on my roster for now.
What's wild is those two guys, Shanahan and Lynch, would be fired if they didn't hit on Purdy in the seventh round.
Yes.
And now they're probably going to win a Super Bowl. Now,
the other point I want to make is more addressed to the Foot Clan, because my goodness, y'all were salty on X. There were two groups. There were the Mike lovers and the Mike detractors when this trade went through.
No, no,
you know, they were on both sides, Michael.
No, it's all Mike Love on Twitter.
And
so, all the time.
In your timeline, sure.
Yeah.
So some full people were saying,
it
Andy
took
and
me
I,
till just now to realize you were talking about Twitter.
Yeah, sorry, on Twitter.
I was like, who's X is here?
What radio on station
X
is this?
Yeah, Twitter.com.
Like, yeah.
Go on. But like, you know, Andy and I were saying there's no way he'd get a third round pick, a day two draft capital.
Yeah, spot on.
And then, you know, like I'd offer a seventh or a sixth round pick. And then he got a fourth. And so some people came to your side and were like, yes, you were so close. You said third, yes, he got a fourth.
Yeah.
And then other people were fighting those people in threads and being like, they were right. They didn't get a day two draft capital. And here's what I want to say.
Take lock.
Here's what I want to say. Andy and I were totally right. You know what I mean? Like, and here's why. Because there was apparently interest from a lot of different teams.
Buffalo was in.
Yeah, there were five rumored teams that had made offers, and they were all sixth round picks, conditionally a fifth. That Dallas came in to win the day by offering a fourth, which was better than what everyone was offering.
Yeah.
And that's a day three draft capital. It's so I know that, like, we talk about with rookie running backs.
A lot of talk to prove how right he is.
Yeah, it's important. I hear you. And so we talk a lot about the difference between a day two pick and a day three pick for running backs, the third and fourth. But I just want people to know we were right.
Yeah. Everybody understands that.
Yeah.
Y'all understand?
Nope.
Yeah, see, yeah, sure. They get it.
Okay.
More unfortunate news before some good news. Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
You had to talk him up, Andy. You had to talk him up. Reaper's going to reap.
It was just so weird because you made me profess that I believed in him.
Yeah, well, that was the question.
Hamstring. He's going to miss several weeks. It could be bad. No Tim Patrick. Is the renewal of Russell Wilson even possible?
It's...
What do we think?
It's far less likely now.
Russell Wilson.
So, but here's the fantasy thing is, look, don't buy the second string tight end for the Denver Broncos.
Oh, no.
Good luck.
Dulcich is going to be just fine.
Good luck. But for Jerry Jeudy, the real actionable advice is, like, This sucks. It's really bad to get a multi-week hamstring injury right at the beginning of the year, because he's going to be doing everything he can. He's going to force his way back on the field. Your risk of re-injury is massive, and it's just it's not that he can't. It's that the probability is so against him, as we've seen with players time after time after time who have the big hamstring injury right now. So it really feels bad.
It's not to say that he can't come back and be very good this year. If he was going to be good, he's going to be good. We saw that with Keenan Allen last year, right? Keenan Allen came back the second half of last year. But if you drafted Keenan Allen, it was miserable. You had to wait way too long. He came back, got re-injured. So this is where it's like, I think Jerry Jeudy can have a really good second half of the season, but I don't want to participate in the road to get there.
And I'll pick him up
off waivers. Yeah. Corlin Sutton seems like he could actually be very relevant now. Tim Patrick is down. Jerry Jeudy is down.
I think at this point, they're just going to stink again.
I mean, Sean Payton was like,
he's hedging.
That was the biggest takeaway of all the we didn't really talk about it on the show, but all of his, like, attacking Nathaniel Hackett, and then we had Aaron Rodgers come to his coach's defense. But it's like, you're pretty much a Hall of Fame coach, and you're at a brand new team. You took a whole bunch of cash to go there, and immediately, like, well, this other guy messed things up so bad, so if I'm not good, you blame that guy.
I know. It was ridiculous. Yep. And could have used Tim Patrick and Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It just sucks.
You want good news?
Yeah.
Josh Jacobs is back, baby. Oh, yeah. Get it, Mike. Get it, Mike.
Hey, I like it.
Get it, Mike.
I like it.
Okay, Josh Jacobs is back. He's been paid a little bit more money.
Okay.
He even tweeted he's back, so he's excited.
Yep.
He's back for fantasy, Jason, just like you predicted.
Yeah, I mean, we were saying with the new CBA, people don't really hold out. I'm a little bit more scared of Jonathan Taylor, not because of the holdout, but because of the unknown around the injury. Maybe he's not injured at all. Maybe he's super injured. We just don't know, and that scares me, and there's other good players there. With Josh Jacobs, it was just he's holding out. And it's like, well, he's not going to hold out. He's going to play football. It's going to happen, and it's going to be for the Raiders. So we told people draft him. I hope you did when you had your opportunity for him drop into the second and third.
Do you think he goes back to the first?
I think I think he'll be no. By the, it's funny because this is so close to the draft weekend. This weekend and next weekend, he probably will stay in the second round. And so I think he's going to be a phenomenal value if you're drafting this weekend or next weekend, and he's in the second round. I would absolutely grab him. He's on a 1 year contract where they're going to give him the same workload. I don't think he's going to, you know, rush for 1,800 yards and be some unbelievable monster. Last year was the best year of Josh Jacobs' career, but he's going to touch the ball 350 times. So long as he comes in shape, I think we're good to go.
Which, speaking of that, Ian Rappaport,
okay,
just tweeted out. We have a picture of him working out.
Coming back?
Yeah, yeah. Do we
is
have
he
that?
Signing the contract?
Do we have that?
It's such a stupid bit. It's such a stupid bit.
What are you talking about? The light smattering of applause tells me that the people love that bit.
The light smattering.
There it is. There it is. For those listening at home, Mike threw up a Fat Thor picture.
Jacobs.
Oh, that's Josh Jacobs.
I told you.
Wow.
Thor is on the screen.
Yeah.
I just wonder if Fat Thor is going to keep the ADP in the second round because you're spreading this dirty rumor about Josh Jacobs. He's in great shape, 2,000 yards.
I'm just asking questions,
guys. To be fair and to be honest, which I don't think, Mike, you're being.
Well, Fat Thor is still up there. So
yeah. Well, my point is if you watch a whole movie, Fat Thor gets in shape and dominates.
Oh, that's true.
So he's fine.
Okay. Josh Jacobs is back. My dynasty team is breathing easier.
Yeah, who's got Josh Jacobs in their dynasty roster?
Congratulations.
Yeah, and who overpaid for Zamir White when they were a little scared? Yeah.
Just you.
Just me. All right, that was today's News and Notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance. It is time for some bold predictions.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ridiculously bold predictions.
They didn't know what was going to happen.
No, that's
they didn't know we were about to get spicy.
No, real spicy. And one of the things about this show, and we love doing this show live. We've done the show live a handful of times.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's great about it is it's always been perfectly accurate.
Yeah.
Every one of our bold predictions historically have come true.
I crushed last year.
Did you?
Yeah.
Chris, let me guess, you remember.
Yeah, it was Chris Olave over Michael Thomas. That worked out.
Okay.
To be fair, we've had
Oh, yeah, I said Brady was going to stink. We actually did.
We have had some hits on this. Wow. Historically speaking, I've called a lot of teams that implode. You had Austin Eckler's breakout when he was unknown. We've had some hits, and that's all we'll focus on. Because These are bold. We're trying to be spicy here, people.
So...
what is happening? We're singing a song? Like, is there a flash mob happening right now?
I can't tell because I can't see them.
You're up first, Andy?
I'm going to go first
with
my super accurate, guaranteed, correct, remember you heard it here, bold prediction.
We're on the wrong coast.
This team hasn't had a quarterback with a winning record in more than a decade. This team, in their 64 years of history, has had one head coach who stayed more than one season and had a winning record. This team has been a basement dweller. They've been easy fodder for the jokes.
Mm-hmm.
But the New York Jets are going to win the Super Bowl. They're going to win it all.
Yes. Yes. Fill your hearts
fuel
with
me.
Hate. Yes.
I ain't no pander bear. I just tell the truth. It's on the newspaper.
All right. All right. Andy.
All right. Let's hear the case.
There's no way to overcome that reaction. Second of all, what this means for fantasy, when they win the Super Bowl,
you won them over.
Every single one of their key players is going to outperform their ADP, which means Aaron Rodgers in the 10th round, with the darkness retreats, draft him. You wait, you draft him. Dalvin Cook, 7th round pick, draft him. They think I'm in a darkness retreat.
No, we're supporting you right now.
Thank you, Mike.
Let's go.
I didn't realize there was this much Jets hate.
I told you, we're on the wrong coast.
Let me ask you this. Hold on. Did you hate the Red Sox before they won anything?
We hate them to this day.
All they did was lose. Did you hate the Cubs when they had no World Series?
Also, Jason.
They just hate out here.
Sidebar. I'm cutting Andy out of this conversation.
Who is he talking about? I have no idea who these teams are.
It's baseball. These people love baseball.
To answer your question, no, I did not hate these random made-up names you're talking about.
The Dragons. Did you hate the Dragons?
Yeah.
Look, you can even, and I'm going to tell you, Mike, who's your nasty boy at the end of the draft?
It's Fergalicious.
It's Jake Ferguson, right? You know who else is a nasty boy? Tyler Conklin. Tyler Conklin's a nasty boy.
Okay.
Hold on.
Yeah, you
do
don't
you
want
to win your league or do you want to just boo? See, this is the problem.
Yeah, they just want to boo.
We don't want to win the league.
They want to do both.
That's fair. Okay, fine. I'm going to skip to a wild stat that will persuade you. Probably not, but I'm going to try. Over the last 3 years, I don't know if you guys even know this, an Aaron Rodgers pass attempt is worth more fantasy points than any other quarterback at all.
Over the last what timeline?
Over the last 3 years.
Ooh,
and that includes...
Boo your facts.
Boo facts. Oh, now we're talking. That includes last year in Green Bay, which you did not enjoy that experience.
No, I didn't.
Aaron Rodgers per pass attempt, 0.69 fantasy points.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you. Better than Mahomes, better than Allen, better than Cousins, better than everybody. Which means when they go on this Super Bowl run, you're going to want to put them on your team. And the NFL wants them to succeed. I'm going to tell you that. It's not just the Hard Knocks bump, okay? And I know you disagree. But they've been given the best rest edge, which is the amount of cumulative days rest, which is like very indicative of teams that outperform their win total in their history, in the entire NFL. You don't get to the Super Bowl unless you're projected to win more than 9 games. Their win total is at 9.5. Ipso facto, they win the Super Bowl.
Yes, of course, of course.
Remember where you were. Okay? And I want letters from each of you when they win.
All right.
Brooks will get you the address. Apologies from all of you.
So am I up?
Yeah, please. Yeah. Go for it, Mike.
All right, I'm calling.
Be bold, but not that bold.
I am calling my bold prediction, the changing of the guard at the wide receiver position. It piggybacks a little bit off of you because I have three sophomore wide receivers in my bold prediction, three sophomore wide receivers finishing in the top 12. And we're going to start at mild, and we're going to work our way to spicy.
Yeah, I would start mild with these guys, honestly. They could not handle that.
So here's the deal. Since 2015, we've had three sophomore wide receivers in the top 12, only twice. So we had it in 2015, which included – you guys remember when Allen Robinson was good? That was a great time to be
Where's
alive.
Where's all the Rams fans
That was
at?
A great time to be alive.
Mike, I just came off the booze.
Sorry. I'm sorry to open that wound.
Bleh.
And last year we had four. So I'm going to start at the top. Garrett Wilson. He's being drafted. Yeah.
Yeah, cheer for me.
Yes.
Just so you know, he plays for the Jets. He plays for the team I just talked about.
Now, we removed that.
Yeah.
So here's the deal.
Great point, Mike.
Garrett Wilson, this is really mild because he's being drafted at wide receiver 10.
Yeah, so your take is he's going to be good, real bold.
He's got Aaron Rodgers. I don't have to
they
convince
like you.
I don't have to convince you. Second one, my guy, Christian Olave.
We're just saying names of good players.
Andy, we haven't gotten to the third name yet.
Yeah,
so
that one they might not cheer.
Here's the thing. Is ADP, wide receiver 12. I don't have to convince y'all that we believe in Chris Olave and what he's going to do. Olave targeted on 27.6% of his routes, second highest among rookies since 2014. He's the dude. Here we go. Grab the Pepto-Bismol. Drake London. Drake London finishes inside the top 12. And
no, he doesn't.
And here is my case. Let me make my case.
Okay.
Remember where Drake London, remember where we came from. Drafted eighth overall. Drake London was drafted in front of Garrett Wilson. He was drafted in front of Chris Olave, and he did everything that he could as a rookie. Mm. Behind the scenes metrics, 29.3% target share. That is the highest among rookie wide receivers since 2014.
What was that percentage?
Above 29% target share.
Okay, on the three passes per game.
I will get there.
Okay.
And I get it. Marcus Mariota was the guy last year for most of it. It didn't look great. They averaged just over 24 pass attempts per game. Disgusting. Well, what happens historically when teams pass the ball that little? Since 2017, we've had
We cry.
Oh, yeah. No, we weep. We weep.
We turn our backs on Kyle Pitts.
We have those no Sean Moreno
tears. Oh, the big tear?
The tears it's inhuman how large the tears are. But since 2017, 13 teams averaging fewer than 30 pass attempts per game. The next year, all but two increased their passing volume. And the average increase was an extra 51 pass attempts per season.
Game? Oh. Dang.
This.
I wanted that stat to be better.
It's not the Tom Brady Buccaneers. So just an example. Seattle, right? 2021, they were throwing the ball 29 times a game. We're all out because it's Miley Cyrus is the quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
The big hits have not come out yet. He's still in the Hannah Montana phase. They jumped from 29 to almost 34 pass attempts a game. That's a big increase. Let me ask you this, right? Last year, is it in moving forward, do you project that San Francisco is going to have good fantasy wide receivers?
Uh-oh.
Because they only threw the ball 29.5 times per game.
Uh-oh.
Atlanta was at 24. Okay? That's not So I'm saying we can absolutely get an increase for the Atlanta Falcons. I'm projecting that they will have one. Drake London saw 117 targets that turned into 866 receiving yards. He was historically good because since 2014, we've had 11 rookie wide receivers hit 50 receptions and the yards per route run that Drake London was at.
Let me, Mike, if you don't mind, Jason. Sure. Jason, can we chat?
Yeah, let's tuned out.
Earmuffs.
Do you think he believes in Desmond Ridder?
I do not think he believes in Desmond
Ritter. You're supposed
to
put your hand on the other. You put the hand on
the
other
side.
Yeah,
I can see your lips.
I do not think he believes in Desmond Ritter.
Okay, all right. Never mind. Go on, Mike.
But here's the thing. Those marks that I told you, 50 receptions and the yards per route run that Drake London saw, sophomore year, 8 of the 11, top 12 the very next year. And the three that didn't, you know the three that didn't? Mike Evans, who had 1,200 yards that year, but only three touchdowns. Debo Samuel.
I'm a big fan.
He got hurt. He got
you
hurt.
You like Debo?
Do we like Debo in this room? Yeah, we're too far south for Debo. We're too far south.
Too far south for
but
Debo.
But the point is on Debo, he got hurt. It didn't happen. The very next year, wide receiver two. Terry McLaurin, 1,100 yards, but only four touchdowns. So that's the only reason that they did not make it into the top 12.
But all three really good wide receivers.
Absolutely. That's the point. And Drake London, just watch Drake London play football. He is very, very good. We're all too far down on the Atlanta situation, and what we're too cemented in to the idea that, well, they're a run first team. What if they throw it a little bit more? And those numbers I talked about, we've seen the increase. The average increase is 50 pass attempts per year.
You ever been around somebody that's like about to go through what you've already gone through?
This is a Kyle Pitts take.
I was you, man. I was you a year ago, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, talking into cameras about Kyle Pitts and how their passing volume was going to go up. Oh, to be young again.
I will say this. I think you bring up compelling arguments for the talent of Drake London, and I buy into those. I don't know if I believe Desmond Ritter can hit wide receivers regularly enough downfield. Now, like, I obviously I love Bijan, but Bijan's passes are like, here you go, just a little
scooch,
just tap pass.
You gotta tap that pass. You gotta tap the pass.
So really, I mean, let's be honest. Your bold prediction is that Drake London is going to deliver for fantasy football.
That is my bold prediction.
And then you're my guy is going to be good too, and Garrett Wilson, who. For this future Super Bowl chance, scored a touchdown tonight.
Yes, he did.
From Sir Aaron Rodgers. Jason.
Sir? Did he get knighted? Did I miss something?
He did.
You sound like you're from London.
Shout out to.
Shout
out to someone who traveled that far.
The doctor.
Hey, if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of
Bonjour.
Time.
Bonjour.
The man, the myth, the legend that started the bonjour bit. Well,
9 years ago.
I started it. But he's from Scotland, and he flew in just for this show. Just for this show.
So if you're listening to the podcast after it releases Monday, and you're like, oh, man, I'm in Nebraska.
That's weak.
Shame on you.
Your stuff's weak.
All right, Jason.
All right.
Let's hear your madness.
I am up, and I'm going to talk about.
We're going with this one?
We're going with this one. I'm going to talk about a running back.
Hold on. Okay. Hold on. You haven't said it yet.
Correct.
You have a chance to pivot.
I would never.
Okay.
Because this one is so clear and obvious. It's going to happen. I'm saying that the running back 44 right now on average will finish as a top 20 running back this season, and it is none other than Kartavius Tank Bigsby. Top 20 running back this season.
Can I ask you a question?
You can ask.
One, that's pretty spicy.
Yeah.
Two, how much of this is because his name isn't Cameron and it's Tank?
Look, Tank's going to get it done, okay? Tank is a dude. When your nickname is Tank, you're just set up for success.
Yeah, you're either tiny right. Or you're a tank.
Yeah, and Tank Bigsby's body is ready for an NFL workload.
Whoa!
He's 6 foot 215. He's
a real 215.
A real 215. He's not like soaking wet 215. Oh, hey. Yes. I didn't even ask for it. But now I do.
Hold on.
Jason.
I rip off a killer zinger and people start chanting Jason.
Yeah, the people know.
Keep going. It's because of that.
Yeah. So here's my belief in Tank Bigsby. First of all, coming out before the NFL draft, he was my running back 4 in the pre-NFL draft scouting process. You guys know I love Tank Bigsby. I love Zach Charbonnet. And then, of course, Jahmyr Gibbs is a machine and electric.
Agreed.
My next favorite running back was Tank Bigsby. Why? Because he's got ideal fantasy football body weight. He has ideal time. He runs a 4.45 at 215.
That's what we want.
I love size-speed combinations. He catches the ball. He caught 30 passes in his final year at Auburn in the SEC. That's a great number for college. He's also really good.
Yeah,
he's a beef boy.
He's a beef boy.
He's a beef boy.
He's a beef boy.
He's really good.
Not an itty bitty boy.
I don't know how many
they
people
like
in this.
They like the beef boys.
Yeah, they do.
They like the beef boys.
I don't know how many people in this room or listening have had the chance to watch preseason. But if you watch Tank Bigsby this preseason, he has straight up dominated. There's like literally not one play you can show me where he didn't do something better than what should have been done on that play.
Even the fumble tonight?
He fumbled today.
I haven't seen that one. We're here recording. But after that, he ripped off another big run and had a great game. There's only one play you can show me from preseason. It's the fumble. But he is really good. And here's what we know about Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson has always run a committee, wants to run a committee. At the end of last year, he talked about getting Travis Etienne some help. He wants to keep Travis Etienne healthy. Travis Etienne is an electric, explosive athlete, but he has his own problems. Okay, despite his explosive plays, he's not a tackle breaker. He was stuffed for 3 or fewer yards at the 6th highest rate among running backs, and on 35 receptions, Etienne forced a missed tackle. One. Single. Uno. He forced one missed tackle on 35 receptions. He was also, unfortunately, very inefficient near the goal line. 14 carries inside the 5, only 3 rushing touchdowns. The depth chart behind Etienne was just a bunch of Jags. And I don't mean Jaguars.
I mean, you're correct in both of those.
Yeah,
things.
You're accurate. Just a guy, a Jag. Jermichael Hasty is.
You don't have to name them now.
Nothing.
That's just rude.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mrs. Hasty. I was rude to your son. He's, you know, like if I saw him in life,
you'd
be like, that's
that.
Not just a guy. That's right. A man.
Yeah.
But when I see him on an NFL field, I'm like, yeah, okay. Go sit on the bench.
When I'm safe on my couch.
Also, Dougie. Doug Peterson?
Is he here?
I don't know.
Yeah, Doug, you looked down the crowd like he was here.
I don't know if Doug Peterson
is
here.
Doug Peterson here?
Oh, no, they had a preseason game tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to be here. But when you're listening later this week.
He'd skip that for the show, right?
He could. Please don't play Jermichael Hasty. And I mean that only for fantasy purposes of both Etienne and Tank Bigsby. But Tank Bigsby is really good. They brought him in. And they're going to run a committee here. That's what they're going to do. I'm not sure. They're going to have both of these players very involved. Travis Etienne's going to get goal line opportunities. Tank Bigsby's not coming in and stealing all the goal line opportunities. Travis Etienne is going to get work in the passing game. Tank's not going to get it all. But Tank is going to get goal line opportunities. He is going to be involved in the passing game. He is going to get a lot of carries. And he's going to get enough usage with his talent and that offense to be a top 20 running back this year, and you can get him as the running back 44. Every single year, there are multiple, at least 2 top 24 rookie running backs. On average, there are 3. Some years, like just a couple years ago, 2020, there were 5 rookie running backs that were in the top 24. Tank Bigsby is that dude. He's looked great. He's going to earn his way on the field. He's going to break tackles. He's going to score touchdowns. He's going to catch the ball. And then, as an insurance option, I don't want Travis Etienne to go down. He's on my dynasty roster. Etienne have a great season.
How does it make you feel? Like, you can like Tank and you don't have to dislike Etienne.
No.
You got him on your dynasty team.
Look, I think both of these players are actually good. This is not an anti-Etienne. This is not an Etienne
gets
injured.
Where's Etienne right now?
This is
too high.
I agree. He's probably too high right now for where he's drafted.
13 or something?
But this is a Lindale White and Chris Johnson situation. Johnson comes in, rips off 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns. You know what Lindell White had that same year? 15 touchdowns.
But he had him on 15 yards.
This is a Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara situation.
Lindell White. Beef boy.
Beef boy.
Yeah, that's a beef
that
boy.
That's a beef boy.
That's a beef man.
And he was, wasn't he USC?
You don't know?
I would think Los Angeles would be aware. So that is my prediction. And I think some people will look at it and say, man, that's really spicy. The running back 44 is going to finish top 20. I think other people, smart people, be like, of course he is, Jason. Mm-hmm. Of course he is.
Well, they chanted for you during it.
I expect one more, crowd. I expect one more today.
Oh, there it is. It's over.
I expect 17 more.
You don't. I mean, the problem now is that I know what your second bold prediction is.
Yeah, baby. You're going to love it.
And you are going to be the favorite, not just because you have a T-shirt cannon that you said you were going to buy with your own money, but then you used the company credit card.
I used your money. Our money.
Our money, yeah.
I paid for a third of it.
Yeah, you did. You did. My second bold prediction.
This is hot.
It's not a team you hate winning the Super Bowl. It's actually, which, I mean, that was a surprise reaction. Because the Jets haven't been in the playoffs. But listen, we haven't had a 15-touchdown year from a wide receiver since Cup in 21. And it was Cooper Cup. Thank you. Okay, he's good.
Hey, we're back.
I see Cooper Cup jerseys everywhere.
We're back.
But here's the thing. We haven't had three wide receivers do it in the same season since 2007. That is a 16-year wait, and it ends this year.
Ooh.
Three wideouts with 15 or more touchdowns. Now, see, they're booing because one of them isn't Cooper Kupp.
Okay, oh, so
okay. There we go. Okay. We've got some people.
How's that feel?
It feels great.
Yeah, it feels real good.
Honestly, much better than the booze.
What am I, chopped liver? What am I doing wrong?
We'll see. We'll see, Drake London. Here's the deal. Three wideouts.
15 touchdowns for Drake London. It's too late. It's too late. I don't believe you.
Three wideouts, 15-plus touchdowns each. Jamar Chase. DK Metcalf.
Hold for applause.
AJ Brown.
Okay.
Which we got some big AJ Brown fans in the house.
It is crazy to me.
The Eagles fans are like a virus. They're everywhere.
It's crazy to me that you have three wide receivers getting 15 touchdowns, and it's not Cooper Kupp and it's not Tyreek Hill.
No.
It's not
Justin Jefferson.
Let me ask.
It's going to be a legendary prediction.
Let me ask you real quick. If, let's say, three wide receivers score 15.
I'll take partial credit, yes.
But it's yeah. Chase, yes. Hill. You'll take
yes.
credit?
Yes. Okay. I will show the clips from the show without the names.
Look, I would.
Yeah, you would.
Three wide receivers. Justin Jefferson.
AI could do this for me.
Cooper Kupp.
There have been 17 15-plus receiving touchdown years since 2000, and some wild names. Randy Moss is three of them.
Cool.
Three baby. Of those seasons. Including, 25? That was a good year. But Braylon Edwards? Anybody remember Braylon Edwards?
Oh, yeah.
How about Dwayne Bowe? We had Jordy Nelson, who did it on 96 targets. Remember I said those Aaron Rodgers targets are valuable?
Yep.
Here's the thing. 76% of those, 6 foot, 1 inch, or taller.
Oh, no.
So you got to be big. You got to be strong.
Got to be beefy.
Got to be a beef boy. The NFL, it's that bustling diner, and you want people to cook up those delicious gourmet touchdown burgers for
you. They are delicious.
And you got to find the chefs that can cook them up. Jamar Chase is really the easiest one to project. Now, I don't know if you know this. Who do you think is the number one, according to Vegas, in terms of odds to have double-digit touchdowns?
Is it Jamar?
Yeah, it's Jamar Chase.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
It's Jamar Chase. Cooper Kupp is second in that list. But Jamar Chase, literally, he's on pace for a touchdown every 11.9 targets. And that's 15 every 180. And he was on pace for 190 targets last year. So his basic being a part of the NFL math adds up to 15-plus in a season. He's got 22 of them in the last 2 years. Check that box. But what about the old teammates? You know, the ones that took those pictures together where it made A.J. Brown look small?
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't. Former college teammates, Ole Miss. Here's the thing. When you were a true alpha in year four, which I'm defining that as being over 8 targets in a game, which both of those guys are, if you do it again the next year and you're over 6'1", your path to 15 touchdowns is actually, it's pretty simple, because anybody who does that 2 straight years, year 4, year 5, 8-plus targets, you average 12 touchdowns.
Right.
You average 12 touchdowns the next year. Cooper Kupp did it. Davante Adams did it. Hopkins did it. Dez Bryant did it, which is kind of my comp. People like Dez Bryant. People hate Dez Bryant.
Continue.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'm going to be brief with these two guys, but DK Metcalf led the NFL 21 end zone targets last year. We went back, we watched every single one of them. He only had 6 touchdowns on them. That's going to swing the other direction. He is the Dez Bryant of this generation. The end zone targets, no JSN, I'm sorry to say, to start the year most likely. And then A.J. Brown is really close to what Ja'Marr Chase did. He averages a touchdown every 12.6 targets. Ja'Marr Chase was just around 11. Right behind him, he's got Tyler Lockett to compete with, but A.J. Brown's got Devontae Smith to compete with, but he is a big man, 3 15-plus touchdown wide receivers this year.
That's a lot.
Book it.
That's a lot. And that
cooking them juicy burgers.
I think the bold part to me, even though it hasn't been done in, what'd you say, 16 years, that's pretty crazy. Like, that's a bold prediction.
Just having three? Like,
just having three in general. But the fact that you specifically named the three,
yeah,
that seems just like calling your own shot that you didn't need to do.
I know. It was dumb.
Babe Ruth, you don't have to point.
Yeah.
You could just go crush the ball.
But when he crushes it to where he pointed.
That's a baseball reference,
yeah,
everybody.
And he also called me Babe Ruth. I like that. Can I leave for yours? Seriously? Like, do I have to stay here?
Oh, I forgot about this one.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen.
You want the t-shirt cannon? You could just point it right at Mike.
No. No.
I'll point it at myself.
Here's the deal. Jason had a top 20 running back from the depths.
Boo this man.
I have a running back who's going in the 5th round right now who is going to finish as a top 10 running back because he has not only one strong leg. He has 2 strong legs. Yes! Feed me!
Oh, they don't like it. They don't like it.
J.K. Dobbins, top 10 fantasy running back.
Have you been drinking?
Not yet. Here's the deal. So let's look at last year.
And you saved, to be fair, I went on a rant against J.K. Dobbins.
Yes.
Which I thought was just incredible, like an incredible argument, very persuasive.
I listened to some of it.
You listened to some of it. And you held back.
I did.
Because you knew you were going to be here tonight.
Yes, I held back most of the argument last year. Let's talk about the story of J.K. Dobbins. Last year, coming off the injury, gets into Twitter beef with Ian Rappaport, promises that he'll be there day one for training camp.
With 2 legs.
With 2 strong legs. It doesn't happen. In fact, he misses.
Just kidding.
He misses the beginning of the year, and he comes back, and it is bad, right? Gets on the field week 3 for about 4 games. He averages 3.5 yards per carry. This is not the J.K. Dobbins that we saw as a rookie. Gets a cleanup surgery, and he heals up. Takes his time, and he comes back, and we have 4 more games of J.K. Dobbins. He was the running back 14, averaging 7 yards per carry. His first game back. His first
Come on,
game
Asim
back.
Come on, Dynasty over there.
He was a top 10 running back his first game back. Over that month, he averaged 100 rushing yards per game. And you might say, well, look, I need a pass-catching running back. We have to have that for the upside. And yes, for the true
Yeah, I'd like that. Yes,
that's,
please.
That's why I stopped the number at top 10. I couldn't get any spicier than that. Looked back over the past 5 years. Here's the guys that finished in the top 15 and what they did. Okay? Mixon, Chris Carson, Nick Chubb, Cordero Patterson. That was a fun year. And Jamal Williams. Their averages over that time, we're talking just over 1,000 rushing yards and 11.6 total touchdowns. That's the total that you need to make it to the top 10. And you're like,
1,000?
1,000.
And then 11.6 touchdowns?
Correct. Okay. Total touchdowns. And you're like, but Lamar Jackson, he's a running quarterback. He's going to steal all the touchdowns. Is he? Is
he? Sure about that?
You sure about that? Because over the last 5 years, teams with a quarterback who rushed for 700 yards, I'd call that a prolific running quarterback.
Sure.
Their running backs had 15 total touchdowns on average, and four of those teams were Lamar Jackson teams, where the Ravens running backs averaged 16 total touchdowns.
Can I tell you something real quick?
Please.
I did see this part in your notes, and I totally ignored it. I was not a fan.
Did you think I would ignore it?
No.
Yeah.
I tried to delete it.
So, look, double digits. That's what we need from J.K. Dobbins. There's all the Todd Monken stuff, of course. We talk about we love the speed of the game, higher pass rate. Well, what did Todd Monken do for Cleveland for Nick Chubb? Well, Nick Chubb went from 192 carries to 298. Nick Chubb saw 49 targets that year. Is Nick Chubb a pass catcher?
No, he is not.
No, but the year that he had Todd Monken, 49 targets. And now I'm not saying that J.K. Dobbins is Nick Chubb, because then I'd be like, J.K. Dobbins is going to be a top three running back. But I stopped it at a top 10. And this is okay. Here's what I admit. Dobbins in the top 10, it's spicy. It is a projection, but he's really freaking good. Players since the NFL merger.
I thought you were going to just say players that are really good historically have been good.
And in my opinion, he's very good. Since the NFL merger. So I went back.
You went to the merger.
I went into the time machine.
Mm. What year was that?
Out of the 70s? I don't know. Who pays attention? Running backs, if you had running backs with 130-plus attempts who averaged over 6 yards per carry in a season. Barry Sanders.
Okay, good
Excuse
guy.
Me, Mike. The NFL merger was June 8th, 1966. Continue.
Oh, okay. So even further back than I thought.
It's super far ago.
No one remembers
the 60s. Before the beginning of time.
Here's those names. Barry Sanders, Adrian Peterson, O.J. Simpson, Jamal Charles, C.J. Spiller. C.J. Spiller is the outlier. What guys.
No. Move on.
We're past
move
O.J.
On.
Mercury Morris. To
Mercury Morris?
To his credit and mine, I don't know who he is.
Great name, though.
It truly is. And J.K. Dobbins. And you might say, Mike, 130 attempts, that's quite the convenient cutoff point. And you're right.
For a bold prediction show, that's your cutoff
point. It certainly is, because all those guys had way more than 130 carries. But let's go to the pass catching. Mark Ingram, running back 8 in 2019 with 29 targets. J.K. Dobbins comes to town, and those targets absolutely vanish, and Dobbins had 24 as a rookie. And again, Nick Chubb with Todd Monken, 49 targets. And you're like, you guys even remember this? You know Devonta Freeman was on the Baltimore Ravens?
Oh, I remember, yeah.
42 targets for Devonta Freeman, who was washed at that point.
He's very clean.
Yes. Oh, I mean, just,
he was
yeah.
just like head to toe, sponge bath, taken care of every day.
Just premium soap.
Soup's washed.
But the point is, it's not actually.
Like Thielen?
No. Me? You don't wash ghosts.
It's me, Adam Thielen. You young whippersnapper.
Hold on. I'm peeling back the curtain for a second.
What's for me?
For sound check, he did this for like an hour. He did like an hour of his Adam Thielen impersonation.
It was good.
My bones are brittle, boys. Don't throw me the ball.
He did score yesterday.
He had a very good game. But the
me
point
and that guy, I love him.
The point is, we've seen a running back for this Baltimore Ravens team in the old busted offense get 42 targets. So 42 targets is not impossible for J.K. Dobbins to unlock some of that upside. Plus, I just need 1,100 on the ground for a player who's crazy talented. Like I said, in a month, when he finally had two. Well, actually, no, that was one strong leg. One strong leg averaging 7 yards per carry. He's a great player. He's going to be on a great offense. And I think that top 10 bold prediction is in the range of outcomes.
What do you think, Jay?
So
pretty stupid, huh?
Yeah, there it is.
There it is.
He's so handsome. Well, yeah. He's so cool. The chant stopped immediately. Yeah.
He's so handsome. He's so cool. They're like, I don't want him to think that. Everyone be quiet. I do believe J.K. Dobbins is an actually really talented running back. I do believe in the Baltimore Ravens offense. There's a lot to be scared of when it comes to the mobile quarterback,
go
the passing volume. But I want to bet on the Ravens offense and the talent. And actually the depth chart, Justice Hill's had a great preseason. Don't scare me. I mean, Justice Hill is irrelevant.
What about Melvin Gordon?
Yeah, like J.K. Dobbins is head and shoulders above everyone else in that room. And I think that if they're playing fast, which is the Monken way, you don't have guys come out as often. I think J.K. Dobbins is going to be on the field a lot. So I mean, obviously it's bold to be like top 10. I wouldn't see that as the probable outcome, but I'm in on Dobbins.
15 touchdowns and he'll do it.
11.6 and he'll do it.
Listen, I will say this. I had the decency in all of my anti-Todd Monken Ravens hype train situation to not bring up the Cleveland years because that was a Freddie Kitchens offense, and then you used that for Monken? Sorry.
He was there.
Jason, it's Panda Bear time.
Actually, it's not. This is just what the heart wants and what the heart believes. Going into the My Guys episode, and you guys can attest, I had such a hard time because here's who I actually wanted my three My Guys to be.
Oh, now he wants credit for four guys.
Look,
I know this.
I really wanted it, but I couldn't allow myself to do it. You're the one in charge,
chicken. No,
this is what happened. You guys were there. This is a real story. I wanted Justin Herbert, Justin Fields, and Mark Andrews, but I didn't want three onesies. And so I took out Justin Herbert so that I could talk about his true ceiling on a bold prediction, because my bold prediction right now is that this season, Justin Herbert has 50 total touchdowns and finishes as the quarterback number one.
What? They're standing up, Jason.
Yeah, they're standing up.
No, not that guy. He's leaving. He's leaving.
Well, that guy's leaving. But he's, to be fair, he is still standing.
That's a guy that had Justin Herbert last year, and he walked off.
I've heard enough. All right, Justin Herbert, so 50 total touchdowns.
How many?
50 total touchdowns. That finishes as the quarterback
50.
Number one. This is...
That's not...
No.
You didn't add touchdowns due to that drink?
This is from the Russian motherland. All right. How many people have had 50 total all-purpose touchdowns in the past? There have been four. Tom Brady.
Wait, you didn't even give us a chance to answer it.
It was rhetorical, bro. Yeah. Peyton Manning, Patrick Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers. And the fifth time happens this season. Those are dream seasons. Those are seasons that win fantasy championships. Andy, do you remember personally the Peyton Manning 50 touchdown season?
Well, let me ask Mike. Do you remember the Peyton Manning 50 touchdown season?
Yeah.
Why do you guys remember that season?
Because I lost in the championship.
Why did you lose in the championship?
Because Peyton Manning probably threw 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a really good time.
When you have those type of seasons.
How is that possible?
Yeah. It's crazy. Those are outlier seasons, but they are special. And there is a mixture happening here for Justin Herbert, both good and bad, that I think is a perfect fantasy recipe for success. The bad is what happened last year. Last year, he threw 25 total touchdowns.
So you're looking at double.
I'm looking at double what he did last year. Last year, he threw the third most passes in NFL history, 477, and somehow only threw 25 touchdowns. And you say, well, you know, maybe that's outlier. It's an outlier for him. He came in and threw 31 touchdowns as a rookie. He is good at throwing touchdowns. How many is 31 as a rookie? Oh, I don't know.
31?
The all-time NFL record. No one has ever done that except for Justin
Andy
Herbert.
Andy was right. 31's 31.
31 is the answer. Great answer, Andrew.
Thank you.
He is really good. I don't think I need to, like, I don't need to make the case.
No, you do
you
not.
You watch the film and you go, man, that guy's good. Quarterbacks with 12,000 passing yards through their first three seasons, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Justin Herbert. End of list. He's that good.
Here's what's crazy is if you believe it, it's your bold prediction, so, you know, you're against the odds. But you got to remember Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker and Julius Thomas – and how good the other weapons were. Could they all be good if your dream comes true?
That is the point. The point is he has the weapons and the cast to do it. No one has ever done it without a smorgasbord of guys who could score touchdowns. Peyton had it. Aaron Rodgers had it. And truly, Justin Herbert has it this year. Last year, you want to know why he only threw 25 touchdowns? It's because he lost...
because I drafted
half the season of Keenan Allen. He lost a quarter of the season of Mike Williams. He lost the entire season of Jalen Guyton. He broke his ribs in week two. He didn't run for any touchdowns, which that's part of this. It's not just passing. This is all-purpose touchdowns. He averages 4 touchdowns a year. He had 300 rushing yards the year before on the ground. He had 0 last year. That is legitimately a pretty outlier. 14 quarterbacks had 50 rushing attempts last year. He's the only one who didn't have a rushing touchdown. He will have rushing touchdowns added to his list. If he gets up near 7% touchdown rate with Kellen Moore, with Mike Williams, with Keenan Allen, with Austin Eckler, a first-round draft pick in Quentin Johnston, a great red zone option in Gerald Everett, you still have Josh Palmer. You have Jalen Guyton. I don't even know what they're cheering for.
I think that was a Gerald Everett cheer.
Oh, God.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah. What's that? What's that, baby?
For those at home, Jason is now arming a T-shirt cannon.
The first ever on podcast recording explosion of a T-shirt cannon!
You didn't put a T-shirt in it, Jason.
Jay, there was no T-shirt in there.
You didn't put a T-shirt in the T-shirt cannon. You left it out.
I was sitting on the T-shirt. Yes.
He just shot.
I need more Jasons.
Nothing.
I need more Jasons.
He shot nothing.
Good.
Oh, this is good audio.
Here we go, yeah, baby.
This is good audio.
Wait, let me get the mic.
No, the mic's got it.
The mic picked it up.
Oh. Well, that was.
How your prediction's gonna go?
No.
A little
it's
limp.
Not. So. I think
they booed the T-shirt.
You're gonna have to load up later.
I am really upset right now.
Continue.
After this show, I am gonna really cost some insurance money with this. I'm gonna load it up. I'm gonna crank it. So I think with Kellen Moore's arrival,
get back into your point.
There is a path to it. And I did the math because I thought about this beforehand. I was like, is this actually doable? Is this actually realistic? Can it happen? And obviously, for it to happen, everyone has to have a good season. But Big Mike, he's had double-digit touchdowns before. Give him 10.
Sure.
Keenan Allen last year, second half of the season, he was on pace for 8.5. Give him 8.
Okay.
Austin Eckler has averaged over the last 2 years, I believe, 7 touchdowns. Give him 6 receiving touchdowns. Quentin Johnston is a first-round rookie. First-round rookies that play the whole season average, I think it's 6.5 touchdowns per season. Give him 6. Gerald Everett's a touchdown machine. Give him 7. Josh Palmer has averaged over the last 2 years, 4. 4 rushing touchdowns is his average for Justin Herbert. If Donald Parham gets 2, that means between Jalen Guyton, Isaiah Spiller, Trey McKitty, whoever, just need 2 more. I mean, you realize that his sophomore season, Justin Herbert had 41 touchdowns, and then he comes out week 1, looks like a superstar, week 2, loses all his weapons, breaks his ribs. He is a great value this year because he was a disappointment.
Why don't you go up to 60?
If I went up to a number, Andy, you know what that number would be.
55!
Yeah.
How did you not go 55? Oh, my goodness.
I just
gracious.
Did. I just gave a 55 shout out.
Let's move the show along.
You love Justin Herbert. I hope it works out for you. It was hard last year. The expectations were there. Before we get into the mailbag, which I hope everybody out there is ready, I do have to get one quick bonus Jason Moore bold prediction, because historically you have picked the NFL team that is being hyped that will let everybody down.
Yeah.
And you have been pretty correct on that.
Mostly
you did
accurate.
Say it would be the beginning of the end when Brady won a title.
Yes, that was
their fantasy options weren't all great. So do you have that team before we get into the mailbag?
Yeah, so I would have gone with the Jets, right? But I wouldn't do that to you on the bold prediction where you say they win the Super Bowl.
They already did it.
Yeah, they shamed you. You know,
you're all going to remember, every one of you.
I was looking around, and I don't think you're going to like this team either, Andy, but I do think that there is more fragility to a team that right now is the, I believe, second highest odds to be in the Super Bowl. They are assumed to be great. All their weapons are great. They are drafted to be great, blah, 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 blah. I think there's a lot of fragility to the San Francisco 49ers.
Wow.
That's the biggest pop of the night.
Yeah, because you've got that we're in California. We got lovers and haters here.
Sure.
But you have
okay.
You
okay.
have a you have a Mr. Irrelevant quarterback that isn't really proven and is also coming off of a huge elbow injury.
Sure. Yeah.
And should something happen to him, Sam Darnold is not the answer.
That is spicy.
So I just think there's a lot of mouths to feed.
You
could
don't believe
be
in Sam Darnold anymore, huh?
No.
All right. Are we ready for the mailbag drop? We need everybody. Everybody. Al, are you ready?
Lights up.
Are we ready?
We're going to get the
Let's
lights.
Let's go.
The lights on the people.
Let's go.
The house.
Mailbag.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. That was pretty good.
Beautiful.
That was awesome. Into the mailbag we go.
Oh, nice man. Hat.
Thank you. My name is Aiden. I'm here from here in Los Angeles, California. Whose house? Anyway, so last year, Jamal Williams was an RB1 in fantasy, being the ground and pound guy for the Detroit Lions.
Sure.
So now to bring up my guy of the year.
David Montgomery.
Sir, this is not your podcast.
Because I think he has the same upside because he is an even better running back playing the same position. And he's in the seventh round. Do you think he has that level of value and upside? And if so, or if not, what? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, no, it's a good question.
David Montgomery.
Yeah, I mean, the counterpart to the thunder to the lightning of Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah.
For Jamal to do what he did last year, and I'll toss to you guys for your thoughts, but you have to have one part, like he's a good goal line running back.
Sure.
But you also have to have some luck on your side to have that many opportunities. Like, we're not pretending Lindale White of, you know, Beef Boy yesteryear. He wasn't a superstar. He had a outlier type of season, and that I view Jamal more that way. But Montgomery's a different player. I think he's probably a more well-rounded, more talented back than where Jamal is in his career. I don't know if you'd agree with that.
I put him on pretty equal footing. David Montgomery has been a volume running back for fantasy purposes. He's been, you know, fine, but he's also been inefficient. And I think it just comes down to the luck of, like, guys don't get that many opportunities from the goal line. And the fact that Jahmyr Gibbs was drafted where he is, sure, he's smaller. Montgomery projects as the goal line running back. What if they say, we're not going to run? We're going to pass because we have Jahmyr Gibbs. So I think that there's an opportunity. David Montgomery is a very interesting draft pick who I think is, like, I like his ADP, but I'm not going Jamal for him.
Yeah, when I started to stat people out for the UDK, I was pretty bullish on David Montgomery. As time has gone on, I have cooled quite a bit because two reasons. One, I've realized the importance of really, really, really going for upside in your draft. Not just like he's going to only finish good in games he has a touchdown in, but I want someone that could just be awesome. Right where he's going is Javonte Williams, is James Cook, guys who could break out, not just fall into the end zone a handful of times. And the second reason is the touchdowns for David Montgomery inside the five, he's never really been great. You know, rookie year, 18 attempts, only 5 touchdowns, 14 attempts, only 4 touchdowns, 12 attempts, 5 last year.
He does have a much better offensive line.
Yes, a much better offensive line. I do think he'll have a lot of attempts. He will be the goal line back. That's not Jahmyr Gibbs. It's just not the type of player I want to draft.
Maybe Jahmyr Gibbs was the goal line back, though.
Maybe.
I think both of them could be on the field at the same time.
Good question. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Next question.
All right. What do we got here?
Hi there. My name's John Ortman.
Hey, John.
Fellow Arizonian.
Nice.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
A little cooler here.
Yeah.
So my question is, we all did hear your My Guys episode. Hopefully. Everybody's here heard it.
Yes. Of course. The world heard. Yes.
So my main question is, from each of you, who is the one player that you're drafting, regardless of ADP, just to make sure that he is on your team?
Okay, so the question is, this is an ADP question. Who are you willing to essentially reach for one single round? You're going to draft them earlier than other people are drafting around the ADP universe.
Yeah, stop doing that with your hand.
So I'll jump in because, look, in the first four rounds, I don't want to reach drastically. Like,
agreed.
For my guys, you know, like Chris Olave, I'll be really aggressive. But for me, it's
well, they're being drafted so high already that moving up around is kind of difficult.
To me, like, once you hit round six, go get the players that you want to get, the ones that you think have the upside. And for me, would be Khalil Herbert, Chicago Bears running back. Who's going? I think. Thank you. He's going in. I think like around the ninth, but it's like he's a starting running back. And if you went really wide receiver heavy and you're in the seventh, you're like, no, I got to start making sure I have guys who will get touches. Draft Khalil.
I'll say Dalton Kincaid.
Okay.
Simply because if I have to draft him in the ninth instead of the tenth, I'm getting upside, maybe the number two target. And I'm not drafting the kind of pedestrian numbers of like a Kmet or maybe an Everett or maybe a Higby.
Well, Everett's apparently having 7 touchdowns is what I've
heard. We figured that out.
That's
so
right.
For me, it's Kincaid. I'd reach a round.
Singular.
Jason?
This is a player we talk about in fantasy football in analysis, Stay Water. This is a player I was not in on in the offseason, and I have completely changed. He's in the fifth round right now. And if I need a running back in the fourth round, I'm willing to take him there to make sure I get him right now. And it is surprisingly Damian Pierce.
Okay.
It's a full 180. I mean, I was really out on Damian Pierce coming in to this offseason, but what we've seen from camp, his utilization, his talent from last year, I think that a fourth round draft capital is replaceable. That doesn't guarantee he's replaced. And right now, he's absolutely not replaced.
Yeah.
He's the guy, and he's talented enough. He's also been in on passing downs. So, I mean, if you want to talk about a guy in that fourth, fifth round that could finish as an RB1, I don't love the team, but his talent and opportunity is there. So that would be the guy I would reach on.
Thanks for the question.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks,
appreciate
buddy.
It.
Next question.
Whoa, okay. Oh, the Muth is loose!
The Muth!
What's up, buddy? What's your name?
Hey, my name's Travis. I'm from Kansas City, but I flew in from Tennessee. So
awesome.
I don't know if anybody
awesome.
Else came here from very far, but I wanted to ask
there's
you guys a
question.
There's
a guy from Scotland, so...
Scotland?
Yeah.
I hear there's somebody from farther.
Really?
Farther than Scotland?
Farther than Scotland.
Who? What's farther than Scotland?
Yeah.
I thought that's the end of the earth.
The end of the earth?
Well, we'll get there. Yeah. What's your question, buddy?
So when you're in a 3-team keeper league... What should you look at as a draft analysis for valuing future for kind of players such as like youth, contracts,
sure.
and just kind of the teams that they're on and how they'll evolve?
Is it what are the keeper penalties? I was like, what do you pay? Do you pay the round you drafted them in? Do you pay ADP? What's the...
Specifically in our league, we don't actually have a penalty
okay,
around
so
these
just
keepers.
Free for all?
So
straight
free keeper. Keepers, so yep. You can usually look at top of the draft board.
That's, okay. That's how ours is as well. I'll hop in first. You give absolutely zero farts. You don't care at all. In a
That's
three,
professional
in a
advice.
Three-keeper yeah. league, draft Derrick Henry and don't worry about his next season. There are so many players like a Dameon Pierce that will come out of nowhere that's going to crack your top three that you need. Draft the best players.
It's so rare that the three players that you think at the beginning of the year are going to be your keepers end up your keepers. Even if you have guys that are youthful and have great potential, like you end up with that changing, you know, trades, players that you drafted later in the draft that end up developing. It's just so rare to have that happen that I think over-focusing on youth or like having them on your roster. Now, do you get to keep them indefinitely? Do you have to give them back after a couple of years?
So we don't have any restrictions based off of it. So, yeah, you are able to continue for the career. So like if I draft Bijan, I can have him for the entire life of his career.
Sure.
So I want.
Yeah, Bijan's a little different, but like it really doesn't bother me if in a redraft, not a keeper, if someone wants to call their shot and say, I'm taking Bijan at the 101, I don't think it's like a ridiculous thing to do. Yeah. So in a keeper league, yeah, you draft someone like Bijan whenever you want.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Next
I think it's
final
last question.
It's the final question.
It's an empty microphone.
Who do we got, Josh?
There we go.
He's approaching. Which
we need walkout music here.
Got the Keenan jersey on.
Hey, before you jump in, hey, shout out to the people who have the courage to come up here. Like, there's a spotlight on this person in front of 1,000 people of their peers. So, just want to say, I commend the
now
courage.
Now, don't screw up.
Yeah.
Also, what's your dumb question?
A lot of pressure. Like a million people listening.
Well, what's up, fellas? My name is Kyle.
What's up, Kyle?
My question has to do with whether or not you're comfortable with drafting multiple rookies as foundational pieces of your roster. For example, I love both Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs. I've drafted them as my RB1 and RB2, and part of me likes that. But part of me also wonders if that's too risky because they're both rookie running backs. So I'm curious what your guys' thoughts are on that.
I mean, I would say that really does not scare me. In the slightest, people like this question because look, we've rattled off the stats of running backs with that draft capital at that age. It works out. They both have a pass catching superpower. So in anyone like any player can have a bad year. So go for the players who can have elite years.
Well, I was just going to say it's a lot easier with Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs,
yes,
who were both top 12 picks,
yes,
in the NFL draft. So you know that they're going to have day one opportunities. Traditionally, some rookie running backs, it takes a while. So if you draft them to be foundational, you better have some pivot options because you might get what you wanted back half of the year.
Yeah. But those are the only two foundational options in this year's draft.
Yeah,
like the next highest drafted rookie
is
seventh round Jordan Addison. And I am fine. Like if you watch our mock drafts, I load up on the rookies. I will leave every single draft with four rookies. If I can get Tank Bigsby and Kendre Miller along with a Jordan Addison and one of those two stud running backs, I'm thrilled
but
to
you
do that.
But you wouldn't start maybe Addison and Flowers week one.
No. I mean,
so if they're foundational, you might not have that chance to,
sure,
to
but
lock it, them in to start the year.
Right, but if I'm drafting those two players, it's the seventh round, the ninth round. I have other players to start, and I want the upside at the end of the season that those rookies bring. And really, truly, like rookie draft picks are usually where – success is found. And if they're not, I mean, you know, most of these rookies are ninth round or later. If they don't hit, whatever, move on. But there's usually the people next to them that you're drafting that aren't rookies that you've seen for a while. They break out at a lower rate.
Another way to answer it would be if you drafted Bijan first and then you're coming up on a pick, I'm not avoiding Jahmyr Gibbs just because I drafted a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really considering that. So
thanks for the
question. All right, we want to thank Underdog Fantasy for helping us put on this amazing event. We want to thank Spotify and the NFL this past week and for their hospitality. Got to spend some time there. Saw SoFi for the first time.
It was awesome.
Working with them on a media partnership for the Dynasty Show, if you guys have checked that out. And don't go anywhere, because if you're here in the building, we're going to come back out in a little while, do a Q&A for anybody who wants to hang around. It's going to be a lot of fun. And for those listening at home, that Q&A is going to be part of the Footcast this upcoming Thursday. It's probably time for Jason to use the T-shirt cannon again.
Make sure you put a T-shirt in.
I'll thank do better.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much, everybody. We'll be right back.
Listening to another edition of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Don't forget to visit us on the web at www.thefantasyfootballers.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.